There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You might remember Jesse Rodriguez as a misfiring Stoke striker with a penchant for god-awful nightclubs.
Through to Hesse, he goes! Oh, terrific goal! Hesse Rodriguez, an elite player, says Mark Hughes.
But his off-field antics are worthy of a soap opera.
My pub.
From exploding apartments to getting run over by his own fiance, this is the story of his ludicrous life.
See the applause he's getting as Hesse enters the field.
I am Jack Rivlin. I'm joined as ever by Zach.
Hello, Jack.
We are delighted to be joined again by Roisin Lanigan of Bad Boys of Snooker fame.
Hello, thanks for having me back. I'm quite excited that in the interim you described having me on this podcast as breaking the glass ceiling.
Well, it's broken now.
Yeah. So I'm like the Sheryl Sandberg of the offshore. Yeah. Thank you for
paving
that.
The way so other women may appear on here.
She's not like other girls. She's worse.
Well, thank you for your contribution to Very society. Welcome. Slightly less familiar cast for you in this episode. Obviously, you know, you spent your teenage years drawing hearts on Hurricane Higgins on your pencil case.
Yeah, and my wrestling blog, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, well, we have got plans for a wrestling episode together, haven't we?
Ooh.
It's coming up.
With
yeah.
you.
Oh
yeah, you're invited to.
Okay, I did actually have a wrestling blog. That's not.
Did you? Did you wrestle as well, or were you just a fan?
No. I just wrote about it.
Just watch it.
Somehow more dweeby.
Anyway, I think for WrestleMania, which is in March, we should do a wrestling episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, today we're doing a slightly less familiar cast for you, unless you were watching Spanish reality TV in 2010.
No, I was a Big Brother fan. Big Brother fan, which I think is kind of, it comes up.
Yeah, but not Gran Hermano, the Spanish equivalent.
That's good pronunciation.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been working on that. Actually, a note on pronunciation. We do know that his name is pronounced Jesse Rodriguez, but that's quite hard to say repeatedly. And English fans referred to him as Jesse. So we're going to go with Jack, our producer, is wincing. He presents a European football podcast. We're going to go with Jesse or Jesse, whatever, you know, whatever takes you guys.
But, yeah. I like Jesse.
Anyway, yeah, so this is your sort of can she do it on a rainy night in Stoke.
Yeah,
episode, right?
I'm quite stressed out about this.
I think I have high hopes.
It's the studio setup has changed. I don't know who the person is. Like, the bar is pretty high.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, we believe. Zach, do you want to just, I mean, for Roisin's benefit, but also just for... listeners, just recap, like, who
Jesse Rodriguez. Yeah. Jesse Rodriguez. So Jesse Rodriguez is a Spanish striker. So he once played for Real Madrid, and he was dubbed the next Cristiano Ronaldo. On the field, it never really quite worked out for him, but he does have an absolutely mental private life. Can maybe put two and two together there. Maybe one's connected to the other, but we'll probably discuss that over the course of this podcast. So anyway, yeah, we'll go back to the start. So Jesse was born on Gran Canaria in the Canary Islands and joined Real Madrid's youth team when he was 14. And he was pretty prolific for their B team once he broke into that. So Real Madrid's B team play in like the third division in Spain. And Jesse, he like broke the goal scoring record for the B team. And this was at the same time when Cristiano Ronaldo was like tearing it up for the A team. And everyone was like, yeah, this guy is the next Cristiano Ronaldo, which is always pretty ominous. So anyway, yeah, this was a bit of a curse. And it wasn't long before Jesse was clashing with Jose Mourinho, who was the boss of the first team at that point. And Jesse said that Jose, he only gives players opportunities who are already big names. He never gives opportunities to players from the B team, which I think he probably has a point there. But Mourinho, I think, has another side to the story. So there's a story of Real Madrid went on a pre-season tour to the US in about 2011, 2012. And Jesse's teammates recall him and Mourinho having this confrontation where Jesse's basically saying, like, why do you never give me an opportunity? And Mourinho is like, you're crazy, kid. Like, you didn't even want to come on this trip. Like, I had to call you up and beg you to come to the preseason. So obviously he's not very impressed by Jesse's professionalism.
Is that how Jose Mourinho talks?
Sound a bit like the Dolmio pasta.
I don't know, after your thoughts about my Irish accent in the last episode.
No, I don't mean on accents. I just mean, is he that, you know,
yeah, he's
enthusiastic?
Sounded quite Manuel, Fawlty Towers. Crazy,
crazy boy.
But it was also quite like, you know, like after school, like sister actor, freedom writer, so he's just like, pull it together, kid. Like, quite,
I just imagine he did sometimes do that, didn't he?
Do you think?
Yeah, he's seen as quite inspirational by his players. John Terry said, I would leave the pitch in a coffin for him.
Really? But shortly afterwards, Jesse was involved in a training ground fight with the Real Madrid reserve keeper. So there, I think the keeper was like looking the other way. He was like collecting the balls or something. And Jesse decides to boot the ball at him from the halfway line and it hits him. And the keeper's pretty mad about this. He like sprints the length of the pitch to attack Jesse. And four of his teammates have to like hold this keeper off him.
It's quite impressive to hit him from that distance, I would say.
It is, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, maybe that's what earned him a promotion to the Real Madrid first team, because that happened shortly afterwards. And you'd think that Jesse's reserve teammates would be pretty chuffed for him, that he's finally made the step up. But Juan Fran, who is one of Jesse's teammates, recalled, when players went up to train with the first team, the joke was red ass. I remember going to Jesse's room and him saying, hey, chill out, guys. He took his trousers down slowly and got it. Red ass, red ass.
So red ass is when you kick a ball at someone's ass.
Thank you for explaining.
That's what I thought. I think it might have a different meaning in Spain. This sounds pretty much just like they just strip and spank him.
Oh, there's no football involved.
Right. No. So he also said, whoever went up, we pulled their trousers down, put them on the floor and gave them a good smacking.
Oh, right.
Which sounds like borderline assault, really.
Yeah, it's quite rugby.
It is quite rugby. Yeah.
I don't think you would be happy. I don't play a lot of team sports. I don't really, you know, I don't like teams. But if you were like in a reserve team with someone and then they got, you know, moved up, would you not be like, what the heck? Would you not be jealous?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you think that's why they're hitting
you?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, there's presumably a lot of jealousy. You pretend to be happy for them.
Yeah, true.
You have to. That's society's code. That obviously, you've resented them forever.
Yeah. This is why I've never been in a team. But I'd be like, what can't?
Too honest. Also, what I swear I read during research for this pod, that Florentino Perez, the chairman of Real Madrid, described him as the jewel in the crown of the reserves. Can there be a jewel in the crown?
Yeah, that is a real like backhanded comment.
Yeah, I guess it's good. Anyway, he left that behind with his red arms.
Yeah, so he leaves his reserve team buddies behind, and to begin with, things go pretty well in the first team. So he's not really starting a lot of matches, but he becomes a bit of a super sub. Then in March 2014, Jesse has the week from hell. So he comes on as a substitute against Schalke in the Champions League. And within a few minutes of coming on, he does his ACL. It's a really bad injury. He has to undergo surgery straight away in Germany and then flies back home a few days later to recover. And it's looking like he's going to be out for 6 months. So he's pretty gutted. He's in his apartment in this like luxury complex in the outskirts of Madrid, chilling out on his sofa, eating some padron peppers when he smells smoke. And it turns out that the garage underneath his apartment has caught fire, and it's set his apartment on fire as well. But obviously he's there. He's like lying on the sofa with his leg up. He's just undergone serious surgery, so he can't move. And the smoke's like coming in, and suddenly the fire brigade arrive and have to carry him out of the apartment.
Oh my God.
And he then goes to stay with Alvaro Arbeloa, his teammate who lives nearby. Yeah, Jesse doesn't play for the rest of the season.
Is he kind of emotionally scarred as well?
Yeah, it does sound quite traumatic.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
It's quite like a Final Destination, like set up as it's just like he's broken his leg, the flames are slowly rising.
Yeah.
That is quite Final Destination.
Yeah. I've read that.
I may have slightly dramatised that. I don't know if the, don't know if the flames were like flicking at his toes.
He was resigned to his fate.
Just calling Alvaro Arbeloa. I just wanted to say I love you. And it's like, you've been so nice to me since I broke into the first team.
Tell one friend, I said, fuck you, I got into the first team and you didn't.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a revenge fight.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Because he made the first team and they burned his house down.
Bit of red arse and then we'll just do a bit of light arse. So 6 months later, Jesse recovers and he retakes his place warming the Madrid bench. And they're having a pretty good season. Madrid are like top of the table until March 2015 when they go on this terrible losing streak, culminating in a 2-1 loss to Barcelona, who then leapfrog them in the table. And obviously that's their like hated rivals, and the Madrid fans are pretty mad. So they gather at the training ground waiting for the players to get back. And after they do, some of the players like stop and are chatting to the fans, trying to like placate them a little bit. But Jesse and obviously Gareth Bale try to like speed past the fans without talking to them. But the fans like stop their cars, surround them, and they're even more mad that they haven't stopped. So they start like attacking the car, screaming at them. Eventually, security come and get them away. But the Madrid fans are pretty against him after this.
What are the fans hoping to do? Are they just like so angry they're just like bashing his car? Yeah. But like, what are they going to beat him up if he gets out? What do they want?
But it's such a departure from the snooker episode would never have had this.
What, where like, fans, yeah.
That would terrify me. It's like Princess Diana level, just like speeding away in the car. Gareth Bale there, don't he fire?
Which bit of Diana's life are you referring to? Her death?
Yeah.
Oh, right. The last bit.
Her wedding.
Right, I see what you mean, yeah.
That's terrifying.
Fortunately, it didn't end quite so badly
for
Jesse, and he made it home. And you think, you know, after all this drama, he probably just wants to wind down with a relaxing scroll on Instagram. And he's doing just that when a picture pops up of his ex-girlfriend, Melody Santana, and she's holding a newborn baby. And Jesse's like, wow, didn't know she was pregnant. And looks at the caption and it's, you know, some, you know, welcome to the world, little one. # Jesse Rodriguez, # our son is here.
One way of going about it.
So he literally finds out about his newborn son on Instagram.
From a hashtag.
Yeah,
from
a hashtag. Yeah. Really undignified.
I think you get at least maybe a DM as well.
Yeah. Just a heads up.
He'll probably see this.
She didn't even actually tag him. You could have missed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's such a weird... She should have tagged him. Did she think that he was going to be looking through the hashtag for his own name?
Maybe he does that. He's quite vague.
Yeah, that could have been how he found it. Yeah.
And he did, yeah, so he did...
Why would she wait until then to tell him?
I think you ask him.
I'm just baffled. You're a woman.
I imagine it's like she wants like, because you know when someone posts like a photo of their new boyfriend and they know it's going to go down the group chats. It's basically like a version of that, right?
She knows he'll see it.
Yeah. Or like when someone gets married and then they change their name on Instagram with a speed that suggests like HMRC or after them, like as they're getting married. Like people just do all their life decisions on Instagram now, right?
Do you think it's like I guess what I'm asking is it an angry dig at him to be like, fuck you, here's your child? Or is it just literally like, oh, Jesse will probably want to hear about this. Shit, I haven't told Jesse.
It's quite like you should want to be like, oh, it's a happy occasion, and she chose to be spiteful with it, which I actually really respect.
You think she also changed her relationship status to it's complicated?
There's a lot of moments in this pod where you think, fucking hell, these people are living every aspect of their lives through social media or in the public eye. And it's kind of admirable, like, to carve out a career that way.
But what was her job?
I'm going to hazard a guess that it's an influencer-y.
Being insane on Instagram.
Yeah, being mental on Insta, which she's fucking good at.
Yeah,
my dream job, actually. Love that. Sadly, I'm just mental on Twitter,
yeah,
which is much less sexy.
Anyway, you'd think that playing high-level football at the weekends and having a new son, Jesse would be pretty chock-a-block. But both football and fatherhood take a back seat in 2016 when he launches a solo rap career under his reggaeton alter ego, JM. So Jesse was previously part of a reggaeton band called Big Flow, but in 2016 he decides to go it alone, does a John Lennon, and releases a track called Yo Sabia, which we can listen to now.
Did he release this while
he was playing for Real Madrid?
It wasn't like his career was ended and he was I'm going to be a pop star.
We should, the video is like all the like that era fashion you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
Like the semi tinted sunglasses, skinny jeans. What are those hats called? Snapbacks?
Yeah, like but like perched on the top of his head, like a cartoon character.
Yeah, it's a very classic reggaeton video. It like starts with two like very expensive cars pulling up in the driveway outside a luxury villa, and then it's just Jesse dancing around in like a big gold chain and a snapback.
And there's some girls.
Frequent cuts to big booties.
The aesthetic of it is quite like mid Love Island.
Yeah.
Like it's quite Casa Amor. Mm. It looks like they are at Casa Amor and dressed as they are at Casa Amor.
Well, to be fair, part of the reason that that video probably has so many views is that Jesse becomes a massive celeb away from the football pitch thanks to the relationship he begins with Ora Ruiz.
So you've chosen to say her name.
Yeah, like I'm going to do the correct Canarian not pronunciation. Well, we're just calling her Aura. Aura. So Aura is, she's a sort of model. I guess the term now would be Insta hottie.
Would it?
What would you go with?
So the woman, the first woman with baby, is an influencer.
Yeah,
she's an Insta thought. Is what you're saying.
I didn't say thought.
That's how it goes down on the census.
Hey, well, look, yeah, Aura, the name on her passport. One of your application is Insta hottie with a heart over the eye. She made her name on reality TV. She did basically the Spanish Love Island. So as a couple, I'd say they're sort of like a Dwight York and Jordan. But that's going back a bit, isn't it?
Ooh.
But you know what I mean? Like a footballer and a reality TV. In a way, the reality TV wag is a bit of an endangered
species. You don't really have it anymore. Would you say that Cheryl Cole was a reality TV wag?
No.
But she did come up through reality TV.
Did she?
X Factor, I think. And she's a...
Pop star is the rivals.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, have a bit of respect. Series 4. Right, anyway, back to Aura and Jesse. So Aura and Jesse, actually, they're both from the Canary Islands, Jesse and Aura, and they were sort of childhood sweethearts. So my Spanish isn't great, but I read a few interviews, and from what I've gleaned, it sounds like there may have been a sort of hand job on the beach at some point. That's sort of like... I'm not saying they went out, but they, you know, they crossed paths romantically.
Sounds quite painful on the beach.
The hand job.
It's just sand everywhere.
A bit dry,
yeah,
gritty,
I don't think that's a good place
start
to
start a fire that way.
I don't know. I'm just thinking empathetically. I can't tell if it would be a painful.
I think
place
a hand job on the beach is
okay. All right.
when you're Jesus, a 14 year old boy, is as good as any. Take what you can at that age.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they know each other as teenagers, they've got together, but then they lose touch. And then they bump into each other in 2016 in a club in Madrid. It's quite, you know, it's quite rom-com-y.
But is it rom-com-y? Is it random? Is it a meet-cute? Or is she like, my ex-boyfriend is now a famous footballer,
yeah,
and I'm going to go to this?
That's very cynical of you.
Isn't that what Kate Middleton did?
Yeah.
That was her plan from the start, right?
Is that why she went to St. Andrews?
Apparently it was her mom, it wasn't her.
Oh, really?
Apparently her mom was like, don't go to Edinburgh, wherever she's going to go to St. Andrews. Mm. Which is a decision that you wouldn't make unless you wanted to shag the future king.
Yeah,
it's a really weird unit.
Yeah, it's like 800 people.
It's all paid off, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Aura Ruiz.
Oh, it really paid off for Aura. The real princess of our hearts. So Aura, so they bump into each other in this Madrid nightclub. They get talking. Jesse invites her to his New Year's Eve party. And apparently there's this really like rom-com-y moment where he leans in for a kiss and she just backs away, which is known as doing the Cobra in Spain, apparently. Anyway, eventually they do get together and 5 months later, she's pregnant.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So they begin this relationship together and it's all great. They're in Madrid. They both love Madrid. But then tragedy strikes because Real Madrid decide Jesse's time is up. He's actually had a pretty good run there. He won two Champions Leagues. He won the league. And, you know, he obviously wasn't a first team starter, but he did play quite a lot of games. I think he played 60 odd, scored a few goals, scored some quite important goals off the bench. So I think he can justifiably say he deserved to win those medals. It's not just like a completely hanger on scenario. But they flog him to Paris Saint-Germain. So Aura travels with him to Paris. PSG put him on 130 grand a week because he's still got this kind of next Ronaldo tag.
So it's not, at this point, it's justified. They think that he is going to be...
I think so. They even, Real Madrid insist on a clause in the contract saying that he can't be sold to Barcelona, which, you know, clearly shows what they think about him. But they probably didn't need to worry about that because within 4 months, PSG are trying to ship him to Middlesbrough, which is...
Less glamorous.
Yeah, it's a bit like he's had his high water mark and it's going to get quite journeyman-y now. He does turn down the move to Teesside in favour of a return to his hometown club, Las Palmas in Gran Canaria. It was both of their hometowns, so you can see the appeal.
That is a tough toss-up, isn't it?
Yeah. What,
between
Canary Islands or Middlesbrough.
Yeah, Canary Islands is basically just old couples from Middlesbrough eating fry-ups anyway, isn't it? There's a lot in common.
Same demographic.
Yeah, it's 24 degrees there, whereas I haven't checked the weather in Teesside today. But.
And is he like a hometown hero? Andorra,
I think the impression I got is on the party scene, yes.
Right.
So he hadn't played for Las Palmas before, so it's not this like great homecoming necessarily.
But even so, like, you know, they know he's from there.
Small place, next Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he just spends the whole time there, like, jet skiing and partying, going on a holiday.
It's a really fun island.
Yeah. Again, €5.
Yeah, great food, jet skis.
Average age quite high, I think, though.
Gran Canaria. Yeah, I went with my granny.
Yeah, I've only been to Tenerife and it was like... Yeah.
Lanzarote, same sort of vibe.
Winter sun, though, isn't it? It's lovely.
Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, so it doesn't go that well at Las Palmas. The manager is Roberto Di Zerbi, obviously now is Brighton manager and is sort of the next big thing in management, people
obviously.
Say. Obviously.
Right, I know it well.
It's one of your favourite up-and-coming managers.
As you
managers.
No doubt recall.
I actually wrote that in. That was my bit.
But he's not very enamoured with Jesse. Apparently Jesse keeps nipping off to film music videos on his jet skis. It's just the reggaeton career is just, it's his real passion.
Wait, there's more than that one song?
Oh yeah, we got more.
Oh, there's an album.
There is an album, isn't there?
Standard play.
There's plenty of music stuff. I got some more. Anyway, so Las Palmas don't extend his loan spell and he's shipped back to Paris and they still don't want him. Which does beg the question why they put him on 130 grand a week, but...
Wait, so he returned and was just, what, on the bench?
Well, I don't think he even got bench time at this point. They were just like, you're going back out on loan. I think there's an argument that the injury changed him and he was quite good before. We'll get into that maybe at the end.
Fire and his career and the baby.
And what's coming. Anyway, so instead he winds up in Stoke, which is not great jet skiing location.
If you were like, no, I don't want to go to Middlesbrough, it'll be shit. And then they're like, well, you're going to Stoke.
You're in luck.
You're going to the Potteries. But Stoke has got Cheshire, which is footballer country.
Yeah, so the charity shops in Cheshire, because the Wags... discard all their clothes. There's like this potted industry on TikTok of girls going to those charity shops.
That's amazing.
Apparently Wimbledon, similar. Well, now I've said it. It's going to ruin it. But apparently it's a similar thing. You go and they get rid of all like the...
Why Wimbledon?
Don't really know. It's not a wag thing. It's just like posh women.
Oh, right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But in Cheshire it is wags. And they you just go down the street.
It's
and you
horrible garish designer.
Yeah. It's quite like Fendi. And
I'm sure our listeners are going to be jumping on that trend.
Oh, yeah.
You've killed it.
A trade secret.
Secret's out now. To be fair, Stoke, the area around Stoke, Cheshire, is very popular with footballers.
Yeah.
So, Aura does go with him originally. And the Stoke fans are excited because the next Ronaldo's here. They've obviously heard, you know, about his wages. He's still got a lot of credit in the bank in the football world. And his debut is a dream start. He scores the winner against Arsenal, the only goal in the game. Fans are singing his name and they think, this is great.
How are they singing his name? Jesse. Jesse?
Jesse. I'm imagining there's only one. Jesse Rodriguez.
Yeah. And it's in Stoke.
Yeah.
Or in that accent.
Jesse.
Yeah, it's probably that, isn't it?
To be honest, I don't think they were singing his name. It was a rhetorical flourish. Okay, sorry.
I've ruined that.
You don't want to scrutinise too much at this
point. Right,
okay. anyway, it's a dream debut, but things are about to go very, very wrong. Rumours circulate in the Spanish press that Jesse has been sleeping around. They don't actually say whether it was in Madrid or Stoke. Apparently a lot of it was in nightclubs. I'm presuming they're in like either Madrid or Paris nightclubs and not like gossip in Stoke.
What is the Stoke nightlife?
Well, I had a quick Google and gossip is one of the clubs.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a sort of like 90s rock bar called TTL that looked all right.
Is he going there? That sounds like one of those pubs where like they give out toast. You're like at uni. And you're like, no, mate, it's so good. I don't think that he's going to those ones.
No, I think if I was a betting man, I'd say it happened in Gran Canaria.
There are no reggaeton clubs in Stoke.
I wouldn't have thought so. I think there's only a few.
There's not a big reggaeton scene.
It's just gossip. And the toast one.
TTL.
Just Megadeth and cheesy bread.
Toast till late. Anyway, these rumours infuriate Aura and she leaves him, which I think is partly motivated by wanting to return home. She heads off.
Stoke.
And with his private life in disarray, it starts to get to Jesse on the pitch. His form dips and pretty soon he's warming the bench at Stoke, which is quite the fall from warming the bench for Real Madrid. There's an incident where he's on the bench and Mark Hughes, the Stoke manager, uses up all his substitutes and hasn't brought Jesse on, so he knows he's not going to play, and he just storms out, leaves the stadium.
I think fair enough.
Yeah, no? I mean, it's bad.
This is the next Ronaldo.
What I'm learning is you're not a team player.
No. I hate team sport. That would piss me off.
Yeah, it would piss you off, but leaving the stadium entirely.
Is that bad?
It's famously bad form.
Yeah, right, it's frowned upon.
Although Cristiano Ronaldo did it as well, didn't he, for Man United?
Yeah, and got sold.
But he is the current Ronaldo.
maybe he saw Jesse doing it. Like, as he saw his career was on the way, and maybe it's like, maybe he needs to rewind and go back to being the next Ronaldo.
Yeah, if the next Ronaldo's doing it. Yeah. It's obviously quite embarrassing for Mark Hughes, the manager, because the press find out, and they ask him, has he apologised? And Hughes replies, not in so many words, because his English isn't great, but he understands it was incorrect. Sounds to me like they haven't even spoken.
He just gave him like a sad face.
Yeah, like, yeah, a little shrug. Yeah. Oopsie. Anyway, he goes AWOL after that, so I'm not sure they even speak. He stops showing up for training. There's a moment that really enrages the Stoke fans where the club say he didn't show up for training this morning at 9 a.m. and then on his Instagram he's posted a picture of himself just in bed with the timestamp 9:30 a.m. So he's kind of flaunting it in their faces. I think
that's quite bad.
And at this point the press report that he's actually in the Canary Islands organising a reggaeton festival. The music.
It's quite bad though, if you like, because if I called in sick to work and then posted something on my Instagram story of me in Gran Canaria
organising a reggaeton festival,
they'd be like, what the fuck is going on? But you can't really, like, I do find it quite bitchy when like a player doesn't show up for training and they'll like tweet it or something. And
it's the like, club tweeting it.
Yeah, it's like, that's nobody's business.
Yeah, I don't know how it leaked out, but I mean, I don't think either party's, you know, particularly cautious about it.
He's just counting the 130 grand a week. Yeah. He's just lying in bed. Since I've been lying here, I've probably earned about $6,000.
I mean, that is silly money. Even for like now, that would be silly money for him to be on, let alone them. Anyway, so at this point, he goes completely AWOL. He's not playing for Stoke. He does find time to release a new song, which includes the lyric, I want to park my Batmobile in your Batcave, which is hell of a lyric.
Is that about Aura? Or is she not with him at this point?
No, they're currently estranged at this point, so I don't know if it is about her. And rumour has it that he's putting it around left, right and centre, so it could be about anyone.
It's not exactly like a love song to bring you back. It's not like Eric Clapton doing Layla, is it? It's like, I want to put my Batmobile in.
Where's your bat cave? Because I've been dreaming about it.
I miss him so much.
I can't think of too many women who would be flattered by having their...
Yeah.
What genitals compared to a bat cave.
Maybe she was a big Batman fan.
Yeah, I think also calling your knob a Batmobile again is quite 14-year-old stuff. Anyway, so Aura's pretty angry at this point anyway. She's in Madrid. She's caring. Their son's unwell. He's in hospital. It's very sad. And oh, I should also add that Jesse released that song for charity, the Batmobile Backhead song. So give
what
the guys
charity?
Some
shit.
I don't know, the Reggaeton Society.
RSPCA. Jesus.
Children in need. Yeah.
God. Surely it's RSPCA, is it? The Batcaves.
Yeah, I don't know which charity, but he was doing that for charity. And he actually arranges with Stoke to have compassionate leave around this time because his son's in hospital. So I think it's possible that some of the stuff that's interpreted by fans as him being a dick is actually just like him, you know, going AWOL to care for his son. But or isn't happy
or organising a reggae tour. Yeah. One or the other.
Possibly organising the odd festival in between. He does upset Aura again because he goes to visit
Maybe his
her.
Son loves reggae tour.
That's what he wants.
He's really sick.
Yeah, if you
I'll
take it as
a reggaeton festival, this will really motivate him to get better.
He loves Batman. Anyway, he really enrages Aura because he goes to hospital to visit her and the son. They're in Madrid now in hospital. And after about an hour, he says to the nurses, this is Aura's side of events. He says to the nurses, oh, I've really got to go. I've got to get a flight back to Stoke. Stoke International.
And where's the airport?
Manchester, I guess.
Okay.
And he says, I've got to get a flight. I really have to go. And they're like, all right, fine, go. And then about 2 hours later, she just gets sent videos of him in a nightclub getting with a girl.
No.
And she goes to the press and says, he's having sex in nightclub loos while our son's in hospital.
That is grim.
Yeah, it's all quite bad stuff. I think the good news is his son's okay and leaves hospital, but they're on very bad terms. And this kicks off this big war of words. There's another occasion where Aura, for her friend's birthday, she rents a yacht, which is from Jesse's friend in Gran Canaria, and they're having a party on the yacht. And then Jesse just turns up with the friend on a speedboat and just gets them all kicked off. Really petty shit.
So they're not, the breakup has not been amicable.
No, and it's getting really tit for tat. She sags him off in the press. He does, you know, he ruins her friend's
birthday.
Shows
up on a speedboat.
Real nasty stuff. And then the battle goes to the courts. So they begin a custody battle over their son. And, you know, at this point, you're probably thinking, be on best behaviour because there's a judge involved. Mm. And I need to look like a responsible parent. So naturally, Aura decides to go on Celebrity Big Brother to look like the real present
like,
parent.
I want custody, but I don't. Yes, he's with a babysitter right now.
Not for the next 90 days.
Wasn't she accusing him of neglecting the child?
Yeah, she does. I mean, who knows what their arrangements are? I'm not going to judge, but it seems an odd move if you want custody to go on reality TV for 90 days.
Was she on for the full 90 days? Did she win?
She lasts 71 days. She outlasts a fortune teller and a musician called El Koala. You're both probably familiar with his work. She makes it to 71 days before her housemates nominate her for eviction.
That's quite a lot. How old is the kid at this point?
I think about a year old.
What?
Yeah.
That's such a long time.
Yeah, I think
like...
about that age. I'm not exactly sure.
Jesus.
It's like a quarter of his life.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a custody battle.
I feel like he'd show up and he'd be like, I don't know who you think these people are.
Do you think he was watching it on TV?
He's won. He's watching Cocomelon and just like wondering where everyone is.
Yeah.
One person who is watching is Jesse Rodriguez. And he's, you know, he's sort of sitting at home, kicking back with some patatas bravas, listening to some reggaeton. Got Celebrity Big Brother on mute, presumably, when he sees she's been nominated and Jesse spies his opportunity for revenge. And he splashes out €5,000 voting her out by text message. And she's evicted.
I think that's so petty. I love it.
Yeah. But €5,000, I mean, look, the guy makes 130 grand a week. So I get the money side of it. But text messages were like 10p each, right?
He must have had some sort of like call centre team because you can't imagine he's spending like 5 days 50,000 just like constantly
I can't
texting.
Imagine that.
50,000 texts.
Knowing
he's
him,
like buying Instagram followers and being like...
Back on the pitch, Jesse isn't having so much luck. He's back at PSG at this point because no one wants him on loan. Even the loan spells are ending. It's a sad stage. He does manage 1 minute on the pitch in the 2019-20 season, literally 1 minute against Metz. But he still gets a winner's medal for Ligue 1 at the end of the season, which, I mean, would you count that as a...
Also, if he's a PSG, does that mean that he's paying for international texts?
£1.50 each.
Yeah, that's so much more money.
What you mean, what's his roaming plan?
And he'd have to like, that's way worse if he's done that.
It's inside the EU, so I think roaming is capped.
Very true.
Yeah.
That's probably if he's on O2.
Yeah, which I think
we don't know.
He's probably on like Movistar or
I don't know the Spanish networks. But it's just worth thinking about.
Yeah.
That is an extra level.
That could get it's still only like a couple of days' wages for him, even if he's paying £1 a text, isn't it?
That's true.
But actually, we know how much he spent.
But just imagine the annoyance of like every time he sends a text, then he gets a text being like, just so you know, this isn't international.
Like, go, welcome to Paris.
Yeah. So that every time he's getting that. Yeah. So it's just the logistics of it.
Yeah, I don't want to be reminded of my tariff every time I try and get petty revenge.
Even if you are rich, you're like, fuck's sake. Yeah.
You probably also get one from Big Brother being like, thanks for voting too.
His phone will be unusable.
Yeah. Phones.
It's just that's what I thought when you were like, oh, he was at PSG. It just went completely over my head.
Good thing about this pod is you get real drama, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's got his medal for his 1 minute on the pitch in 2019-20, but he's more interested in a bigger prize. And when Aura gets out of the Big Brother house and she's done her debrief with Davina, he countersues her. So she's suing him for, I think, negligence, this custody battle. He countersues her for slander and harassment. So his argument is basically that a lot of the things she said about him, like that he left the hospital to go and shag women in the nightclub, he says they're not true. And she's like waging this campaign to defame him. And, you know, as part of suing her, obviously, he has to set out what his demands are. And this is a quote. He says, I demand that she be fined €1. So you think, OK, this is a symbolic thing. It's not about the money. But he also says, and sentenced to 3 to 5 years in prison.
Maybe he just wanted her like off the TV and Instagram.
Why only €1? You think he'd at least try and recoup his 5,000?
Maybe he thought, oh, if I make it about money, people will hate me. But if I make it about real hard time in the slammer.
Yeah. And also there's an element with the €1 that it's like, it's almost a bit of a statement. Like, I don't need your money.
Yeah,
I just want you to rot in jail. Got a bit.
That was quite like, you were like El Nombre.
Also, this is the mother of his sick child. Does he really want her like banged up in jail?
Well, he wants custody, but anyway, he wins the court case.
Did they jail her?
No.
3 to 5 years.
Fortunately, the judge shows some clemency on that point and gives her 9 days community service.
I still think it
sounds more reasonable, I think.
But there is time for one further courtroom twist. There are gasps from the gallery when Jesse and Aura walk out of the courtroom holding hands.
Oh my God, they're back together!
Yeah, and they shock the press pack on the courtroom steps by kissing in full view.
That's like their version of like the end of In the Name of the Father. And he's like, I'm going out the front door with my girlfriend! Slightly different case. But
sorry to bring up the troubles.
Just every episode I'm going to bring it up, like in more elaborate ways. There you go, you can have that one.
What I want to know about this moment in the courtroom, in Jesse and Aura's courtroom.
Not Daniel Day-Lewis.
Is, if they'd made up, which they clearly had, could he not have dropped the charges and got her off the fucking community service?
I like the theatricality of it.
Yeah.
Just like he's storming out at the end.
Yeah. I wonder what the conversation was like the night before the court case. And they're probably back together by that point.
Yeah.
Just like, just go in there, just speak for the heart. So, the fuck, you're the one who's facing these charges.
Like, yeah, surely in her back of her mind, she must be like, in a minute, is he going to say, I'm not going to prosecute
you? Yeah.
Anyway, so they depart courtroom hand in hand, and you might think that they are about to sail off into the sunset, but sadly, that's not the case. So, summer 2020, Jesse's back at PSG. They don't really want him. He's not playing. But fast forward 2 months, and he's been sacked in disgrace. So basically this is the story of what happened. So November 2020, he's not been playing for PSG, and after a game he jets off to the Canary Islands for Aura's lockdown busting birthday bash. So yeah, this is like mid COVID. It's not a good look. He arrives there with these like £700 Christian Dior trainers. She's over the moon, and it looks like they had a great time. He's pictured wearing obviously stupid sunglasses, like dancing to reggaeton. There's people smoking shisha. Obviously, the tabloids inevitably get hold of these pictures, and everyone's pretty mad because this is like high COVID time. And PSG are pretty pissed off as well. But Jesse has much bigger problems than PSG on the way, because a few days later, Aura returns home and finds Jesse shagging her best friend Rocio on the sofa of their house.
Walks in on it.
Shaggy song, they saw them on the sofa or whatever.
I don't understand what you just
You know, it's just like when in the Shaggy song, it wasn't me.
Shaggy song.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
She did.
Caught me red handed banging on the bathroom floor. Oh,
exactly. God.
Again, that is like a perfect moment of drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And it turns out that they also shagged at Aura's birthday party at this at this villa in the Canary Islands.
Genuine gasps. So,
yeah.
Are so, they really good friends, Home Rossi? He said best.
Yeah, so they actually they met. They met on.
I'm so into this.
They met on. It's proper like we get going really down the Spanish supermarket tabloid.
Yeah, we should probably remind everyone that Jesse Rodriguez is a footballer, which is why we're talking about him.
But mainly the gossip.
Yeah. But anyway, so Rocio and Aura had met on Big Brother or one of these other trashy shows.
So when you say best friend,
they're best friends. So Aura obviously comes home to this scene and understandably loses the plot. So she starts like destroying the furniture in her and Jesse's house. She then grabs one of those sticks that you use to clean the pool and starts chasing them around the house.
Or the net.
One of the, yeah, it's one
like
of the
dead wasps in it. Leaves. Yeah. It's quite a lethal weapon with the wasps.
Could be, yeah. So she's like chasing them around and Rocio locks herself in a conservatory in the house and gets her phone out and starts filming Aura outside the window, like screaming and banging on the window with this pool cleaning stick. Oh, and I'm glad to report that we have tracked down the footage.
Rush, you want to just describe what you've just seen?
A scene of pure chaos. Again, and the decor looks like the Love Island villa. At one point, she just... The scream is really visceral. That is like...
Blood curdling.
Yeah.
And then she's like banging on the glass. So Rocio's inside filming and Jesse's outside getting screamed at.
Yeah.
And then she starts like banging on the glass.
She's like trying to get in. She's trying to open it, right?
Yeah. And then, I mean, it probably didn't help her mood when she saw Rocio get out her phone and
why
start
would you
filming.
Make it worse for yourself?
And then we think we heard her say in Spanish, "You're supposed to be my friend, you whore," or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, in retaliation to Aura's completely justified meltdown, Rocio shares these clips and also shares clips of Jesse calling Aura boring and crazy. And she also threatens to expose her and Jesse's sexual encounter in a nightclub.
Who and Jesse's sexual encounter? Or
Rocio and Jesse's.
Oh, like, she's supposed to expose her own?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so she's taking the whole like living in the public eye thing to next level.
Yeah.
Also, so Aura was right. He was sleeping with women in nightclubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on at this point? I think I'm on Aura's side.
I'm on Aura's side, 100%.
She should have people around her to be like, babe, just leave at night. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what she does.
Okay, great.
She decides to leave this chaotic home life behind and return to the safe confines of reality TV. So
when no one can hurt you.
Less chaotic.
So literally a few days after this story breaks, she checks into La Casa Fuerta, which is a Spanish reality show where pairs of celebrities are locked in a villa for 6 weeks and they have to complete various tasks for cash. It's got a 2.3 out of 10 rating on IMDb.
Sounds like a really weird mix of like Love Island, like Taskmasters.
Yeah, they love that shit. They love locking people away in Spanish reality TV.
Yeah.
Are they like couples or no?
Yeah, so they put in couples. So Aura gets thrown in a couple with this other guy. I can't remember what his name is. Who she'd supposedly had a little fling with before. But she arrives at this show for some reason dressed as Little Red Riding Hood. And Jesse is at home. He's like despairing at this point, watching her on TV. And he decides the only thing to do is get in touch with her. And obviously the only way to do that is to call up the show. So Jesse calls up the TV channel and live on air, he tells Aura, "I can see you are not happy," which is like, yeah, no fucking shit. Like, yeah.
Pennies dropped.
Last weekend, you caught me shagging your best friend on the sofa. But he also says, "Listen to what I'm going to tell you. You have to win this contest."
What?
I know. I was then like, I think you might have some ulterior motives for wanting her to be locked away in a TV studio for the next 6 weeks. But yeah, so this is a big shit show, really. And word gets back to Paris. So just a reminder again: Jesse is a footballer,
and he's in Paris.
I do keep forgetting that he has a job.
He has a job as a high level professional footballer,
playing a minute a season.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of the dream, actually.
Mm. Yeah, so PSG are obviously pretty pissed off at this whole sort of soap opera. So you've had like the lockdown busting party, you've got the cheating on his girlfriend, the whole reality TV saga, and it's just they're just like, this fucking guy, like, what is he on about? And Nasser Al Khelaifi, who's the PSG owner, comes out and says that he's tired of the stain Jesse's private life is causing in the club, which seems a little bit rich when you've just hired Neymar and Mauro Icardi. But, you know. But anyway, PSG cancelled Jesse's contract on the spot. And
well, so Casafuerte was the final straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even it's good. Like, it's not even a good watch.
Calling up reality TV shows for this. Then. So this is really a low point for Jesse. He's single, he's clubless, and he retreats to the Spanish second tier and rejoins Canary Islands side Las Palmas. And against all odds, him and Aura get back together.
Oh my God.
Thank God.
I can't. Yeah. It's just, but also, I find it really weird that like her method of like going through these small breakups is to just always go on reality TV. Like, it's like some people get a bob. she decides to go on reality
TV. What's her job?
Yeah, I suppose.
She's focusing on work.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose.
Do you think she's sort of like this, one of these dramatic moments happens and she's just like, I need to cash in. I need to live this out on.
Yeah, there's probably some cynical elements like that where they're like, we need to get her on telly now.
Yeah. Do you think they're actually? No, they are actually breaking up. We've seen the video of her trying to get in to kill someone. So they are. But it does feel like they just can't stay away from each other. It's like a normal people, but they're Spanish.
That's the only difference. Yeah.
It's like Connell and Marianne if they were like Regatron footballers.
Don't break my heart.
It's about to get worse.
Oh, great. Okay.
Because just as Jesse is rediscovering his goal-scoring form, Tenerife's tabloids are hit by a shocking headline. Jesse's fallen victim to a hit-and-run attack.
Ooh.
So grainy footage emerges that shows Jesse hobbling at the roadside, and witnesses report a woman matching Aura's description speeding away from the scene of the crime.
I love her so much. She's so unhinged.
She really is. But I should say that both Jesse and Aura deny that she ran him over.
Yeah. Well, the witnesses said it was her.
Yeah, the witnesses said it. Well, somebody matching Aura's description sped away from the scene of the crime, and then Jesse was found hobbling away.
Yeah, he looks pretty affected by it.
Do you think Aura's friends have like a WhatsApp group where she's not in it, and like every 2 weeks they're like, we have to do something.
Yeah.
She's knocked him down with the car and all. They'll be back together next week.
A hit and run.
Yeah. That's the level where you have an intervention, I think. I mean, maybe not. Maybe they ended up
together. Get her on telly, probably.
Yeah. But anyway, for most couples, you'd think serial adultery, court battles and violent road rage would probably spell the end. But Jesse and Aura are built of sterner stuff. And in a moment that shocks the Canary Island Z-list celebrity circuit, they announce that they're getting married. They obviously do this with an incredibly naff photo op in Dubai. So we're looking at pictures of Jesse down on one knee on a beach in Dubai, surrounded by rose petals. They're in a heart that's been marked out of the sand and filled with candles on a beach in Dubai with a like luxury apartment block.
This is there's a company that do this.
Oh, really?
In Dubai. Yeah.
Really?
It's like it's the worst way to be proposed to.
What are the other add-ons? Can you get like doves?
You get like candles. You can get like one of those big massive things that says like marry me like in the background. You can get a photographer, violinist. Which they obviously have. Yeah.
I think they have a violinist, don't they?
I think you can really judge someone, based on whether or not they want to go on holiday to Dubai or have been on holiday to Dubai. And this is so I go on holiday to Dubai energy.
But footballers love Dubai.
I know. It's just a bit, it's choogy. This is choogy.
What does choogy mean again?
It's like cringe.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. I do think she looks absolutely lovely.
She looks beautiful. And he's in a suit with his Calvin Klein big trainers, obviously. The suit, as I'm sure you can imagine, is like skinny jeans and a sports jacket.
A lot of ankle being.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's naff as fuck. You've got the Burj Al Arab in the background, actually. The
iconic, is that what it is?
I think it is. Yeah, it's the iconic naff Dubai hotel, isn't it?
I mean, this is the final thing that they have to do. This is the only thing they haven't done, is have like a huge Posh and Beck style wedding.
Well, there's one other thing that they haven't done. And
kill someone together. Surely that's the only thing they haven't
done. Suicide pact.
No, so in the next few months after this proposal, Aura starts spilling the beans on their sex life.
Oh, God.
So she first starts banging on about how they love sex toys, and then she announces their intention to release a sex tape. So she says, "It has been recorded and completed. I want it to come out. I want it to come out so people can see the video."
Post-production, yeah. When was that? When did she say?
This was after the proposal, I believe.
So, you know, it should be coming out quite soon.
Chippy, yeah.
Oscar season.
Exactly. Got to time it right. I will be watching.
Yeah.
I probably will.
So they've done a sex tape.
They have.
Any details on the details?
No details, but she does love sex toys, she says. And she said that she likes to surprise Jesse with sex toys, and she says that there's some that he hasn't seen.
That sounds like pegging to me.
Yeah, it sounds quite ominous. I don't think you should surprise people with sex toys. I think you should have consent from
your
Spanish.
Yeah. Especially knowing her.
Serious note for the bod that you should.
Should you find yourself in this position?
Is he still a footballer at this point?
No. So
okay, so he doesn't have a job at this point. He's
at the end of last year, he was on loan at a team in Brazil. No, not on loan. He'd signed for a team in Brazil, and it didn't really go to plan. And he's now left Brazil, and
I don't think he's
officially retired.
He hasn't had a job for like this entire.
Well, he's sort of playing the odd game for the odd team.
He has a job in name only.
Yeah, well, he plays the odd game. He played 13 games for Stoke. I think he played about the same for Curitiba, but yeah.
Well, the only reason I'm saying that is because I don't know how you would find the time to do all this stuff and then also be the next Ronaldo.
Well, he didn't really.
Simple solution, the next Ronaldo. Be shit. You think he'd get a gig in Saudi? And would she like it there?
Yeah, she loves Dubai.
Love it,
do you think maybe Saudi's a bit oppressive for her lifestyle of like...
Sex toys.
Yeah, surprise sex.
Yeah, I don't think they go for that.
That's what they do to people in Saudi for that. Best not to get into that. Do you think they're going to make it? Do you think we'll be in 40 years looking at pictures of them growing old and grey together?
They strike me as the kind of couple, like honestly, like in your friendship group that you're forever listening to them breaking up and then you're like, oh, okay, like I can't really be bothered. You're going to get back together at some point.
They're going to lose relevance now he's retiring and, you know, they'll be getting older.
That's why they got to release a sex tape. Yeah.
Where'd you go from that, though? You probably do need to kill each other.
Yeah.
Some jail time would be nice for the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she should do 3 to 5 years for him. Yeah. Like, she should, like, accuse him of something to, like...
Or kill him.
Yeah, or kill him.
Yeah.
Kill him with a sex toy.
Do all the episodes end like that?
You know, I don't know. Sadness. All your
Mine
episodes
do. Suicide, sadness.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really think of a question about putting him into context with other... subjects we've had.
I'd say the most similar episode we've done was the Mauro Icardi one. Him and
star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, another turbulent couple who make it through against all odds.
Yeah,
it's quite a romantic podcast.
I think it's quite romantic. They do have a few avenues. They could do like a Tyson Fury type reality show of like their house in
area.
They could do that. They could. It seems like neither of them have released a book. They can do that sort of like
there's
Jordan.
Enough.
Yeah.
Happy
to
ghostwrite it if you're listening.
I would watch like a At Home with the Furies.
He did actually do a doc on Spanish TV called Jesse, My Story or something like that a few years ago.
Was it just football though?
I think they actually did go into his private life a bit or kind of like hinted. I think it was more like, why did this player who was dubbed the next Ronaldo never make it, and then
they probably
didn't go into the granular detail that we have. But
I'd say he's at the same crossroads in life as Amir Khan, who, you know, was briefly touted as like the next big thing and was quite big, and then now is like, you know, failed a drugs test, quite a sad ending, and is also, you know, got this chaotic personal life,
kind of bottled it.
Yeah,
which is harsh.
Sure, that's what they say. I think that's harsh.
Yeah, it's quite harsh.
I like him, but his personal life is a bit chaotic.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that episode. All right. Well, if you like your episodes trashy, I'm sure you've enjoyed that one.
Yeah, this was great. It was like proper gossip.
Yeah, I thought you'd enjoy it.
I kept forgetting that he was a footballer.
Yeah, you really don't need to know he's a footballer.
You did have to keep reminding
Anyway, good to test your range. You've got a broad range.
Yeah, I like charity shops in Cheshire. Instagram gossip.
Wrestling.
And snooker and wrestling. Yeah.
Yes. Wrestling. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Roge.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.